Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please take a seat. Leaping babies and the Holy Spirit. I've grown to love Advent over the years. And it's the biblical story is dominated by two types of people: a hairy man living in the wilderness and expecting mothers, expectant woman. And in the Bible story, of course, they're all related and part of the same family. So far, could I have the next screen, please? It's not working. There we go. So far, we've looked at the hairy man living in the wilderness and baptizing people in the Jordan. I wonder if anyone knows his name. I wonder if anyone in kids' church knows this man's name. You look at the picture and you think, who is that? How would you say? John the Baptist, yes. Which I always found a really strange title when I was a young person, because I thought, is there John the Anglican and John the Presbyterian? And how does that work? It took me a while to come to grips with that. So, yeah, there's John the Baptist. And his kind of grooming and dress code, it really stands out. And we read in the Bible that he wore camel's hair as clothing, and he ate wild honey and locusts, so protein and sugars, he got what he needed. So he is the sort of giant of Advent because he brings that message and he's such a big presence. John the Baptist. So for the last few weeks, we've gone to John the Baptist. In today's gospel, we go to a time before John was born. And we heard about his mother named Elizabeth and his future aunt named... Does anyone know who the aunt of John the Baptist would be? This might be a 1 Tim for 12 or tied question. Could have a few adults stumped. You again? I'll give you a seat at hand. Someone's... Caleb. Mary. I think so, yes. So we're getting a family build up here, aren't we? We've got John the Baptist, his mother Elizabeth, auntie Mary. And so who would his cousin be? Those of you who come from societies where family links are really, really important, I find this really easy, but what would you say? Jesus, okay. So we've got that build there. So today we go to a time before John was born, and we heard about his mother, Elizabeth, and his future aunt named Mary, who was carrying a baby whom she knew even before the baby was born, even without ultrasound and ultrascan and all that sort of thing, that she would call him Jesus. Because she'd been told that's what's going to happen. So the Advent story is about expectation and preparation. And today it moves from the hairy man in the wilderness, and it speaks about two expectant mothers and what they said to each other. So it's time for us, especially us guys, to listen to the feminine part of the story, the feminine experience within Advent. And here I run into a few shortcomings. I'm not a woman, and I've never been pregnant. So we're talking about things, I'm the preacher, but I get to talk about things that are outside my experience. And I know, don't go there. So, I understand the hairy man in the wilderness baptizing in the river. I've done that. I know what it is to baptize people in rivers. But what do I know about unborn babies suddenly kicking? What I do know is our first child spent 9 months as if she was in a gym. And I know the feeling of being kicked in the back by someone who says, I'm here, you know, I'm active, I'm full of energy. And as if to prove that, today she turns 34 and she's celebrating by climbing a mountain. These things start early, very early. Number two was quite different. He was kind of relaxed and dreamy, and I think he was thinking about computer code before he was born. But number one was that sort of kicking, very active, unborn child. Very sweet memory. So, to get some more insight on this, because this is outside my experience, I wonder if there might be any mothers here who are happy to say something about their leaping babies. Babies leaping in the womb with excitement. What is that like? Like I said, I only know what it's like to be kicked in the back because she's got a close. Mario Land's coming. Thank you. And I'll bring the mic and hopefully it'll work for the sound man. Something about leaping babies. Were they all leaping or did some leap more than others or how does it work?
Well, they were all very busy, but my firstborn, she would leap for joy when a certain piano player would play in church. So if he was on a Sunday, I couldn't stand because she was so dancing around. I had to sit down. And if the next week there would be another piano player, she would just be act normal. But then the next week there would be this piano player again, and she would really be very, very active. So she heard different types of music already.
Okay. That tells you something. Thank you. I know someone who carried two at once. Do you have anything to say? we'll come to you.
Well, they're both here. So, the boy, Julian, he was kicking. He was trying to make room, and he was active. And yet, when it was time to give birth, it was Antonia that pushed through first. So, yeah, we she was all curled up, so we didn't know if we were having two boys or a girl and a boy until the very end. So she stayed still until it became necessary to push through. And Julian made way for her.
Okay, and like Marilyn, were you ever aware of them responding to things that were happening around?
Well, I was there, and it was I almost fainted. It was like so impressive, that moment,
yeah,
that you suddenly see, hey, there's new life.
Yeah,
that was really
the
most powerful thing in my whole life that ever happened.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was really touching. And they looked at me. And I looked back and I'm saying, wow, who is that? And they saw the same. It's like, wow.
When they were in my stomach, did they move?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I could feel it at night. They're pretty active.
Good. Thank you. There was a hand went up over here. Who was it? Please.
Joan's very shy, but she's sitting next to Tamara, and our first one was magic. Because
you have four daughters sitting here
four,
today.
Four, yes.
Wow.
Yes. And Tamara was so active, more than all the others. And we had this thing where we put the remote control on Joan's stomach and Tamara would kick it off and then we'd put it somewhere else and she'd maneuver and kick it off there. So she was very active. She didn't want anything on the stomach at all.
What did that tell you? Did you stroke your chin and think,
I was just marveled at it. I marveled at it. Anything we put on her, but the remote control especially.
Remote control. From a dad, that's a big thing. You entrusted the remote control to your unborn daughter. Wow, what a man. One more. Just your experience of the unborn and as a mother and what it meant to you. What it said or...
This one next to me. Well, I had the same experience. My first one was active. My second one was very quiet. This one next to me, this lady, she was so lazy to come out. She was 16 days overdue. When she came out, was 4.3 pounds, so that's 9 kilo. All right. She kicked, especially in the night. I didn't realize that was going to be her rhythm after she was born. So she was a baby who didn't want to go to bed until 11. So she kicked always in the night and very active, but during the day she was quiet. She was very well-behaved. That was a very special moment when she kicked always.
Okay. One more. We're having fun, aren't we? This is okay. Chris, mother of three.
So my third... my third was a little bit younger, was 6 years younger than the other two. And the other two were already in ballet class, had ballet classes at the time that I was pregnant with Daniela. And when certain music started playing in the ballet class at the end of the session, there was a particular song, I don't even remember what it was, that was always played at the end of a class, she would start dancing as well. And it was a fascinating thing, just that there was that trigger of that music indeed made her dance as well. So it was...
And so many years later, what...
Well, she did dance, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Great stories, aren't they? So what I'm bringing out here is expectation and listening and watching and feeling and the mother doing that in a very connected, intimate sort of way. And dads, well, we're really interested. It's a huge mystery. We notice a few things, but as Vim shared, I can relate to that. It comes alive at the birth. Hello, little customer. Okay. By the way, Laurie mentioned some birth weights. Anyone beat 4.5 kilo? Barbara, you're the champ. Okay, so Advent, this is very much how the story is told. The hairy man out in the desert with the words of fire and the expectant. The experience of expectant woman. I want to make a single point today, just one point, by noticing something about the story. There are two things about the story. Firstly, it is about a number of bodies, human bodies. baby bodies and mummy bodies. It's physical. And if you know where Christmas goes, the big word we use, incarnation, it is about physicality. It's about body. And it's another sermon, but our God works with bodies. We don't have a faith or a religion that's sort of ooky-spooky, that's just about spirits and disembodied things. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. This story is about a number of bodies, baby bodies, mummy bodies. And the second thing that's in this story is the Holy Spirit. And Luke tells this story, as he tells quite a few stories, the Holy Spirit is very involved. The Holy Spirit, who was alive, but in and of himself, does not have a body. So, here's the point. Mothers-to-be in this story and their unborn children are shown to be excited about meeting each other, and the mothers-to-be recognizing that something wonderful is happening here. In fact, the Holy Spirit is involved. God is stirring, and they feel it through their pregnancy. It's an amazing story, isn't it? It's an amazing dimension of Advent and an illustration of how God works. Not the same all the time, but this is there. In fact, Elizabeth feels the baby, John, to be leaping in her, jumping up and down. And she is filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where she begins to prophesy in song. She begins to speak over Mary words that are by revelation. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. It's amazing. It's just, it's like those accounts we heard about certain music stimulating babies or certain experiences. When the sound of Mary's voice hit Elizabeth's ears, baby got excited. Explain that one. It's beautiful. And she continues, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So she blesses Mary as one who lives in that expectation and that faith that what God has said, God will do. And Mary had a personal revelation, but also as a Jewish woman, she lived with the expectation of her people. And she picks up on that, Mary, in her own words later on. So then as Luke tells the story, Mary breaks out into an inspired prophetic summary of God's faithfulness. You say, I'm living in expectation of God's faithfulness. I'll tell you about God's promises. And she goes through big swathes of the Hebrew scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament. And she sings a song that Che Guevara would be pleased with, if you know who Che Guevara was, the sort of archetypal South American revolutionary. She sings a song about God's coming revolution. Those high will be brought low, those low will be brought up. There's going to be change with a capital C. And she is full of excitement about this. And she recognizes that her pregnancy is part of this. Her circumstances, her faithfulness to God, her living in expectation is part of that broad canvas. And I love this picture over here. I think it just sort of captures something of that excitement at so many levels. So, this illustrates this just beautifully how the Holy Spirit may be experienced physically by the born and as the unyet born. Our bodies can be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and message, even before our minds find words for it. Even more so, that includes babies too. Those who were educated in a Western post-enlightenment sort of framework have, by and large, had that knocked out of us. It's a sort of part of our education that supposedly that sort of intuitive, deep knowing, that physical sensitivity to things beyond and greater than ourselves, before it gets to our mind, before we can write it down in bullet points, before we can set it out as a proposition, has been stunted. And we see here how, for people before all that, it flowed beautifully. That's another sermon. So, this point about our bodies sensing the Holy Spirit at work. I expect for some people here, that's a regular part of life, and others are sitting there saying, "Ah, oh, don't get that at all. No, that's a bit mysterious." Again, I go back to my own experience. There are times when, for me, the presence of the Holy Spirit seems to swell in the moment. God is everywhere all the time. And yet there are moments where the Lord is truly here. Jacob had a moment like that, and he called the place Bethel, house of God. Because, yes, the Lord is Lord of the whole earth, but in this place, I met God. And for me, when I'm thinking about it, it usually is like a highlighter. It's like making me aware, making me realize, oh, something's going on here that I need to recognize. Be awake, Nordanus, because God is in this place and there is revelation here. Sometimes I experience this literally, in New Zealand language, would say as a kick in the guts. It's like a punch. So I don't have babies jumping, but I have at times that experience that the center of my being is stirring. And I find it very helpful to understand that when the Hebrews talk about the heart, the human heart, they're not talking about the seat of emotion so much, or even the place, the muscle that pumps blood. They're talking about something about here, the center of our being, our bowels, literally. Because emotionally, and in many other ways, that is where we are centered. And so something moves there, something physically crunches for me at times in the middle, and it can be quite strong. And it's a surprise. It's like I'm praying or I'm in a situation, and suddenly, ooh, something's leaping, something's jumping. Now, it can be a strong experience, but in no way frightening or scary. My point in sharing this is just simply to say that a bodily experience of the Holy Spirit is very possible. And if we've lived with that ruled out, then I ask you to think again. There is no reason to think that the Holy Spirit did this sort of thing 2,000 years ago, or with Mary and these special babies, and then think, well, that's then. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way anymore. People don't experience God physically today. There's no reason to think that. I quite expect some people to be sitting here this morning thinking that what I've shared is a bit weird. It's a bit hard to grab hold of. You know, after all, what did you hear in church this morning? Well, the Holy Spirit kicks Pastor Francis. Yes. Does that mean the Holy Spirit doesn't have a cat or can't find a football or what? Okay, it can sound a bit weird. First thing I just want to say is it's not necessary. So often when someone describes or shares an experience of God, a lot of people straight away say, oh, that should be, or that should apply to everyone. No, for heaven's sake, the Holy Spirit recognizes everybody's uniqueness, and the Holy Spirit has a big imagination, and the way he works with people is different. But the physical experience of him is possible. It can be like that, even down to unborn babies. God's love isn't going to be limited by things that might limit us. The second thing, just to say by way of assurance, is that any personal experience, no matter how strong it is, remains open to discernment. It needs to be evaluated. What is this? And it remains subject to the authority of Scripture. So you can get so excited about a physical experience of the Holy Spirit that you start making 1 and 1 equal 3. Everything needs to be discerned. Everything is open to the discernment of Scripture and the authority of the church. But it's not to be rejected. It's not to be ruled out as if this can't be God. This can't be God. I find for me at times one of the precious fruits is when I sense the Holy Spirit, it's like he's waking me up. As I was preparing this, I had on my desk a highlighter pen. Who's got a highlighter pen? They're useful. And it's just like the Holy Spirit takes out a highlighter pen or puts on a very bright light and says, notice, be awake, may I have your 100% attention at this moment. And it's usually a surprise because, I don't know, much of the time I'm half asleep. And at these moments it's like, oh, I'm awake now. And I listen very closely to what's said and what's happening, and I watch what's happening around me, because that is what, in my understanding, the Holy Spirit is drawing my attention to. So, that's what I wanted to bring out this morning from this story. The Holy Spirit was making it plain to Elizabeth, carrying a child, Mary, carrying a child, that they were deeply involved in what God was doing. It was like a great big highlighter. And they felt the excitement. And they did their scripture reflection. You know, Mary went to the scriptures, reviewed the expectations of what God was doing. Elizabeth spoke out what was revealed to her in the moment, that the mother of her Lord had come to visit. Things that could not be deduced or worked out. And kicking babies were an integral part of a story. Excited? I just find this a very beautiful part of the Christmas story. It's a very beautiful part of the Christmas story. And it opens up the depth at which God reaches out to us. And the diversity of experience and understanding that comes. I just wonder, is there anyone who'd like to share how they experience God physically? Maybe take 2 minutes to talk to those around you. Whether this makes sense, it's a total mystery, or there are times when somehow in your body, you're aware that God is with you. Take a minute.
Okay. I just wonder if I say there might be two people out there who found words
or found themselves sharing something that might bless the whole church. And when you share something, it's like this. It's you tell the story to give God the glory. So telling a story is not about this is my claim to a halo or anything special, but you just tell the story to give God the glory. That's what I'm trying to do here this morning. Tell the stories in such a way that eyes are opened to recognize more of the wonder and the beauty of God at work. Anyone to share God at work in their body. And we've heard from the mothers to be, but I just wonder if there might be a male of the species who has something. Anyone at all? Okay.
All right, I wouldn't really call it like movement, but it's like we have a lot of thinking power up here, you know, like your frontal cortex, and when you see situations, you think a lot about it, and you try to find out the answer is. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I feel like God is like the sense of direction that works in you. Like it's the simpleness and the feeling of calmness, you know, the peace of knowing that's what I have to do. Because often it's like you see a problem and you think all the ways you could attack it and what would happen, and it just becomes this whole mess. But God is really the peace in your heart that you feel when you know. Yeah.
There it is. Your body just chills.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. And it's a sense that it's not generated by you. Does that come with it? Yeah, you think, oh, where does this come from? How come? How come I'm suddenly at peace about this? One more. Thank you. Jan.
The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, and he often comes to me bringing tears to comfort in the now. As Paul speaks of, we're able to comfort others because of the comfort we are being comforted with. So for me, it's tears.
Thank you. You might want to take this question back to your cell groups or other places where you meet. And again, I just keep saying this. Sharing something about the reality of God in your life is not a claim to any sort of status or anything special. Just matter of fact, this is how I experience God. And I recognize both Julian and Jan's experiences. Very encouraging. Heidi is going to lead us in prayer, really, if you assume the platform. Breath of heaven, which is a way of referring to the Holy Spirit. I think the first song is going to be new, so just let this form a space in which you can pray and you can be aware of God. And then there's going to come a song, which is our opportunity for offering today. So if you come prepared to give something, that'll be through the second song.